Thanks for tapping into Untapped CAG podcast, where we look at different perspectives of sobriety and mental health so that you can take something, implement it into your own life. Here, we believe there's only one right way to sobriety. That's the way that works for you. I'm RJ Zimmerman, and today I am excited to be joined again by Diana Fornaris, life coach who specializes in codependency and self-love. Thank you for coming back, Diana. How are you doing?
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm doing great today. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well. I just got done with some yoga and fitness training, so I'm feeling strong. Ooh. I'm jacked up on those endorphins.
Nice. That's awesome. Yes.
Yeah.
Love that.
It was a lot of fun. So I'm ready to tackle this topic, which last time, for those who didn't hear, go back and listen to the first episode with Diana. We really dive into some really great topics around life, around holistic health. And it was a wonderful conversation. And I've mentioned at the end of that podcast, like, if people wanted you back, to let's make it, you know, make it known, and we'll bring Diana back, and you let me know. And so Diana is back.
Yay. It's so good to be back. Yes. I love it.
Fan favorite, Diana Fornaris.
Yeah. I'm so honored. Wow. That's so special.
So to bring you back on this episode, I mentioned at the top, you're a life coach who specializes in codependency and self-love. And mm-hmm. I wanted to dive in with you about codependency, because there's going to be a lot of parallels when it comes to, you know, just mental health, but also sobriety, being alcohol free, different coping mechanisms that you escape into. And to start this off, I would love it if you could prime us with how you would define codependency.
Yeah. I so agree with everything you just said. And how I would define codependency is when we feel that our needs are less important than another's needs. So like it's when we're in this framework of my needs are less important and your needs are more important than mine. And it's a state of like, yeah, just valuing what other people need before our own needs, and not fully valuing ourselves in codependency. That's how I would define it. Do you have a definition for it? How would you define it?
Yeah, I would define it very much similarly. I would probably say we put somebody else's needs in front of our own, right? And that's probably where I would, how I would frame it. But your definition and not mine, they're just words in different spots.
Yeah.
They're the same thing. And so when you are putting someone or something else above yourself, that's when I think that we really have to take a hard look and, okay, what is it that I'm looking for from this? You know, whatever it is that you're putting above yourself, why do you think that you should be doing that? And then when it's a relationship and another person, you know, what have you noticed in, you know, your own personal journey and coaching wise that has worked in throwing up some questions or some triggers that kind of make people to reframe and take a step back and like, wait, why am I doing this?
I think with codependency, I've noticed it's like it's really an addictive pattern in people. And I love that you said that it's very related to like your niche too, with sobriety and mental health. Like it can feel addicting to like get the validation from meeting someone else's needs, like making sure everyone else around us is okay. And so I really like to get into inquiry with people and myself too. I've had to do this myself. I've had to go on this journey myself. I'm a recovering codependent, you know? And so it's like really getting into inquiry about like, Yeah, like why am I putting other people's needs before my own? And ultimately, and I ask my clients this too, and ultimately, like it really boils down to like loving the self, loving ourself, and like loving and caring for ourselves. And I often see in people with codependency, there's like a huge case of like burnout. I see like burnout a lot. I see people who aren't really like fully taking care of themselves. I see a lot of like anger comes up a lot. Because it's like you build resentment when you're constantly looking, when you're constantly like working to meet other people's needs and your own, get put on the back burner. That can be so frustrating and not fulfilling. And, at first, I like to like think about it too. Like at first it can feel like good, right? Like when you're first, let's just relate it to like a relationship. When you're first getting into a relationship, like, you're in the dating phase, you're kind of in that honeymoon phase where you're like, oh, I'm just gonna, put on my best face, make sure I'm saying yes to everything, make sure things are feeling good. I'm the peacemaker. It's like that's I'm finding that like there's this commonality of like this desire to be like holding the frequency of peace and like everything's good, everything's cool, I'm chill, right? And then like once you get like 3, 4 months in and you start, there it's impossible to hold on to that mask. Like we need to let that mask go and just be ourselves. But what happens is like when we put on that mask of like everything's good, we're perfect, we're meeting everyone's needs besides our own, it's like resentment comes up because we're not fulfilling our own. And so really like the inquiry comes to like what really lights me up? Like what really lights you up as a person? Like how can I prioritize that in my life? How can I make sure that I'm doing what lights me up while I simultaneously honor another person's light up and turn on? Like there's a way to balance it,
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in that balance, right? That, oh, I actually like it's admitting sometimes what I've noticed is admitting that we ourselves have needs, like as somebody who has this pattern as well, right?
Yeah.
What do you mean I have needs? I don't have any needs. I'm fed. That's all my needs, right? I don't need anything else. I'll sleep outside under the stars and enjoy it. I just need to
It's like there's this easygoing quality to us, right? It's like as recovery. It's like, yeah, we're cool with whatever. Like we can get by with this, with that. Like we're good, I'm fine. I'm good. And it's like that. Yeah, it at times, sure, that can be true. But like, what about, yeah, like how long can that last? Or like, what's really, how can we take our lives from like I'm fine to like I'm thriving, And I feel like codependency is interesting because like yeah you can live with codependency, you can get by with it. It's not like it's gonna kill you necessarily, maybe like in some like roundabout fashion it might, yeah, like lead to some really traumatic and hard things in your life, but like in and of itself it's not like it's going to, yeah, harm you. And so it's like, excuse me, it would harm you like but not kill you. Yeah, so it's like, how can you come back to just like honoring that you have needs as a human? Like, you have needs as a human being, and that is okay. And no, it's not going to kill you, but it's good to like look at it so you can live your best life. Like, go from like just I'm fine to I'm thriving.
And I like how you put that because, yeah, it may not kill you, but how much fun is it to live a life that is, oh, I want to do sacrifice myself to do what you need me to do for you. And then I get angry because that's actually not coming back to me. It's not reciprocated. But I continue to meet your needs above and beyond often. And I just wait. I just sit back and I'm like, okay, next time it'll be my turn. But I'm not saying anything because I'm keeping the peace. Because I'm chill. I'm the chill one. I'm the calm one. right?
Right. And then you get into situations like myself, where I was in a relationship for like 5.5 years and was just in this like holding pattern, like where I was not really living my truest expression. I was, teaching boxing. Like, I don't get me wrong, I loved that. Like, there was a part of me that really loved that, and I was, good at it. It was great, but like I was teaching boxing because my partner was a boxing instructor, and it was like we could do it together, and like he really wanted me to, and so I was like, great, let's do this. Let me switch my whole career to do that. And I'm so grateful for it, don't get me wrong, but it led me on this journey that I'm grateful for, but it ultimately like wasn't fully aligned with who I am. And I don't even practice boxing anymore. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. Like, I'm gonna be completely honest. Like, I don't. And it actually feels like so violent in my body to do that these days. And like, before I would like, there was a time in my life where it was like really fun, and like, I felt like a little badass with it, and that it was fun to like teach people. Like, it was fun, But it just wasn't me, and I had to go on that journey of figuring that out. But it really stemmed from this place of like, I want to please my partner. I want to, make sure I'm the best version of his girlfriend and not like the best version of me.
Ooh, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. You ever been there, RJ? You ever been in that position where you're
Oh,
putting others?
yes. Oh,
Yeah.
yes. And I think what you just said there hits home, because for how many people, people out there listening, is this true, where you're not identifying yourself as RJ, you're not identifying yourself as Diana, you're identifying yourself in relation to somebody else. I don't want to be the best version of me, of RJ. I want to be the best husband. I want to be the best worker. I want to be the best, whatever that job is, right? I want to be the best. Here's one for people, because this is something that creates a codependent relationship. You may not even realize it. I want to be the best parent to my kids.
Oh. You said it. You nailed it. Yeah, that's a big one. I've heard that a lot, actually. And recently, I've been hearing that more. Yeah, that can be just as codependent as a love relationship, a romantic relationship.
Mean, where does it start? You see it in your parents, right? In how they were there for you. Like, that's, but And it's okay to use those identifiers in your life, right? Like, yes, you want to be the best version of those things, but do you want to be the best version of yourself so that you can be the best version of those things that I just talked about? Or do you want to be just the best at those external things?
Oh, yeah, such good inquiry. Yeah, because it's really easy to fall into those patterns in all areas and be like, oh yeah, I'm fine in my romantic life, but in other areas it can really creep in and seep in.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It's like, I think it boils down, yeah, to self-love, like loving the self, loving your needs, loving like showing up for yourself and caring for yourself. But it's also like, in that, it's like creating boundaries. And I think that's like one of the hardest things for people who struggle with codependency is like setting boundaries, because we haven't had practice in that. Like, it's often like the case is often that like in childhood, like there was no boundaries. People don't even sometimes come to me and they're like, I didn't even know what a boundary was. And I was like, same, like I get it.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not to blame our parents. Like, our parents were doing the best they could with the tools they had. It's just more like, this is what it was like in childhood. Like, there were not very clear boundaries. We were a yes to everything. We were kind of go with the flow with everything. And it leads to, yeah, like lack of boundaries as an adult and saying yes to things you're a no for. And that can be really, yeah, really damaging.
What are some tips you can give people who haven't had boundaries before to start, because I'm also one of those that didn't have any boundaries. I didn't have any boundaries until about 2 years ago, right? So that's 35 years of not having boundaries with anybody. You know, friends, it didn't matter if it was relationship or not, with anyone.
Love that you're asking that. Like I so feel that and can to so intimately relate to that. My tips are like first to just gain like just be become so self-aware, like really turn inquiry, like what you would the attention and care that you'd give other, like turn it towards self and really get curious. Like about yourself. Like imagine you're your own. I always say like imagine you're your own best lover. And like how would you love someone else? Like turn that love toward yourself and really get to know and understand what your own needs, values, and limits are. Like really take time to be in your own energy. Like alone time is crucial for this. Like reflecting on what is important to you in your relationships and where you might need to like establish some boundaries to protect your emotional health, your mental health, your physical health. And it can be as simple as like, you know, when you're first dating someone to like maybe see them like 3 times a week or twice a week. Like maybe you don't see them like every single day. Like I get that that's tempting when you're like so in love and like loving someone and you know in that like excitement stage, but seeing someone every day and like you know, not coming back and landing back in your own energy can be really dysregulating, especially for empathic people who typically struggle with codependency. And like, you know, another thing is communicating clearly, like being really clear about what your boundary is and in a direct but respectful manner, like using I statements. So like, I feel overwhelmed when you expect me to drop everything for you. I need some time to myself to recharge. And like I always say too, like even the word boundary can feel really like almost violent. That word, like I have a boundary. Like you don't need to say that. Like we don't need to like be like, I have a boundary here. Like just again, use the I statements. Like I statements are huge. Like I feel like I need some alone time, or I feel like I'd love to eat out tonight rather than cook. I feel really scared when you say that you're seeing other people. I think I need to take a step back. You know, like there's all sorts of ways to set boundaries and just communicate clearly from an I feel place, I feel statement. And being like firm and consistent. Like it's easy to kind of waver. Like I get it. Like it's tempting to want to just go back into like the easygoing, go with the flow mode, right? But like being consistent with your word and in integrity with what you know is true for you. And sticking to it, right? If you're like, if you set the boundary, like, yeah, I really need my alone time. And they're like, oh, please, but I really want you to come. Like, of course, you know, that can be tempting to just be like, okay. But it's important to just be firm and consistent. And that doesn't mean that you're being mean or that they're like, going to be hurt by it. If they're hurt by it, if they're disappointed, that's their responsibility to, you know, deal with that. And it's like, I think that's a really huge place of connect for people with who struggle with codependency is like realizing that other people are responsible for their own emotions. We are not responsible for other people's emotions. Of course, we want to treat others with care and be respectful of their emotions. But at the end of the day, like their emotional reaction is their responsibility, not ours. So, like, you know, really, really just being clear on like, I so get that that disappointed you. Sorry, I can't show up. This is just my truth. And the right people will stick around and understand and respect your boundaries. The wrong people will fall away. Like, and that's beautiful. Like, we don't want, you know, to surround ourselves with people who are not in respect of our boundaries. So those are just some things that came to mind when I think of tips for setting boundaries.
And there's a couple things in there, right? Like, let's say boundaries sounds harsh, like you were saying. What if you just call them bumpers, right? Bumpers. What? I got a bumper right here, right? Here's a
Love it.
bumper. Make it playful, right? And then
Yes.
what you're saying, I resonate with really well. And I think that a start as well is, if you've never done this before, is actually speak your truth, like you're saying. Like, if instead of saying, oh, yeah, that was okay, no, I didn't really like that. I didn't like that movie. No, I'm not a big fan of this genre of movie. I would prefer not to see it. Like, start with those small things and be honest. That's really what being authentic to yourself is, right? Is being honest with other people and yourself about how you really feel about what is going on, right?
I love that you said start small. That's huge. I just want to reflect back for a moment because I'm talking like all these big boundaries, like I feel overwhelmed. Like it is so good to practice and start small. Like I remember when I first got out of this really codependent relationship that I was in for 5.5 years, I realized when I was with other people, I was so triggered when I was asked what I wanted to watch on TV because I realized I didn't really know what I wanted to watch. I was like, I don't even know. And I felt like I would always watch what my partner wanted to watch. And so like it almost like scared me to like speak that simple and small truth that I was like, I don't want to watch this. I would rather watch this. Or I don't even want to watch TV. Like it was such an edge for me, but pushing past that. And like I remember I was on a date with someone and I actually just had to say, like, I was like, I gotta be honest right now. I'm like, it's so silly, but I feel like so confronted by just the simple question of what I want to watch. Can I just have a second? Like, I just need a second to like think about it. And he's like, yeah, of course. Like it was actually like a really sweet moment. And like sharing those vulnerable moments with people can be really empowering because we're like, we're just being ourselves. We're just like, hey, I'm having a little moment here where I actually just don't know what I want. Let me think about it. Can I have a second?
And the thing is, when you do that, people don't react how you fear they're going to. And let's say they do. Okay, guess what? Like, especially if you just started dating this person, okay, there's not much invested. I guess that I'll meet somebody new. And so that's a great place to try. Like, new friendships, new dating, like, you want something different, you have to show up different. And so those small steps, those small, telling someone, you know what, here's something that I did. Like, people ask me what I like from a coffee shop, and I will say, I used to say, oh, just vanilla latte, because no matter what, I really like the vanilla latte. But the truth is, if it comes in a ceramic cup, I would rather have a cappuccino. Because a cappuccino in a ceramic cup, to me, tastes amazing. But if it comes in a cappuccino in a travel cup and, the paper cups,
The
it takes like the foam. I don't know if it's the foam, the milk foam, what it is. It
same.
doesn't taste how it should. And in those cases, I'm going with the vanilla latte because that tastes perfectly fine in those cups.
Love it.
But
Yes.
yeah, just like speaking the honesty, like, yes, I have a specific thing that I like here.
Yes. I love that you have that practice of just like, yeah, that's my preference and I'm going to stick to it. And it's specific and that's okay. And here I go sharing it. And I love what you said about like just, being okay with other people's reactions. Like, I think the
Yes.
key here is like creating safety within ourselves around rejection. Like that is huge because I think with codependency, it's like that fear, that deep, deep fear of being rejected for who we are, for what we actually want, for saying the thing that actually is true for us. And so it's really important for people I work with and just for whoever's listening or who can resonate with this is like creating safety within your body and your nervous system in being rejected by someone. Like if a friend, like if you decide like, oh, this friend wants to, is someone who really likes to go to bars, but I'm sober and I don't know if like she's gonna really want to hang out. I'm gonna still say that like I'd rather go to a coffee shop. Oh, she doesn't want to hang out. Okay, how can I create safety within myself around that and not like freak out or like have an emotional breakdown if someone's not liking who I am. And it's okay, like, right? Like, we want to honor emotions and like allow them. Like, we can be sad if someone's rejecting us, of course. But like creating safety within our body, like coming back to self-regulating practices, like deep breathing. I always love Nadi Shodhana, that's alternate nostril breath, which really balances left and right side of the body. Just coming back to like a balancing practice. And reminding ourselves, like I love the quote, life's rejection is God's protection. Like anything that's rejecting us in our life is like not meant for us. It's just simply not, it's not for us. And isn't that beautiful? Like thank you, universe. Thank you, nature. Thank you for like allowing that person, that thing to drop off. It wasn't meant for me.
And what you're saying about rejection, like this is something that I work with people on a lot because having ADHD, like I am super sensitive to things that even feel like they're rejection, even if they're not somebody saying no, but if there's like an energy or something that's like they really don't want to, I pick up on that and I
Yeah.
take that as rejection, right?
Yeah.
The thing is, that's me putting a story on why they're saying no. So, like you're saying about the friend at the bar, are they actually rejecting me? Are they rejecting RJ in that scenario? Or are they rejecting going to a coffee shop?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what is
Yeah.
it they're actually rejecting? They're not actually rejecting me.
Right.
And so when you start to realize, oh, this is a rejection, but it's not actually a rejection of me, it's a rejection of something that I might be associated with. But it's not actually me that they're rejecting.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
now it feels a lot less intense because you can separate the story you're telling yourself about yourself. And you're like, well, what's the truth? What did they really say no to? Did they say no to me? No.
I love what you just said, and I think that's a huge piece right there to highlight is like the stories we tell ourselves.
Yes.
What stories are we creating around our lives? Like a very neutral situation can become this like big upset if we follow that thread in our head, if we follow that story. And this comes back to something that I love working out with people is our inner critic. Like our inner critic can be really so strong, especially in sensitive people like us, like people who are really, yeah, prone to maybe like codependent relationships or ADHD. Like it's like that sensitive system that like really wants others to feel good and others and everything to feel copacetic and like, yeah, really being really sensitive to a no. Like can we really come back to like the truth? And I love the I'm forgetting her name, the author of this book. She does like the work. Oh, Katie, Byron Katie. Have you heard of her?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Yeah, like the work, like the thought test, taking things through the thought test, which I love. It's like, is this thought absolutely true? So that's like question number one. Like, is this person absolutely rejecting who I am? Not like absolutely no. And then the second question is like, what is it like when I'm believing it this to be true? Like, what is it like in my body? What is it like in my experience? Oh, it's actually just like really uncomfortable in my body when I'm believing this. Oh, okay. And then the third question is like, what would it be like to have the opposite belief? Like, how can we, what would it feel like to adopt the opposite belief? Which is like, I'm not being rejected. This person is simply not wanting to go to a coffee shop with me. Oh, okay. That feels a lot better in my system to hold that belief. Let me try adopting that new belief. It actually, yeah, it comes down to a lot of like belief work, like thoughts and beliefs. Like we get to choose. Like I think there's a real power in like the knowing, like we get to choose where we place our attention. And that can be a tough pill to swallow because like our minds can be a little, the monkey mind. It can bring us this way and that way and sway us. And but ultimately we do have the power to choose which thought, which story we believe. So it's a practice. It definitely takes work. It takes time. But like just coming back to that practice of like, yeah, I can believe this story, or I can believe the one that feels better in my body. I'm gonna choose that. That feels more true anyway. Like, Finding the best feeling truth. Yeah.
And that comes down to trying different things again, right? With that self-critic, how much practice does that critic have?
Yeah.
So if that critic has a lot of self-practice, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth thought, is it actually yours, or is it put there by others, and now it's become this critic that replays in your mind?
Yeah.
So like this is where I like to go with it is, yeah, you don't have control over those first, five, 10,
True.
15 thoughts sometimes. You don't
Right.
have control over which one. And like you're saying, you get to put your awareness where it is though. And I like to say what you have control over is you get to focus on the direction that you take that. Are you just going to follow it where it's going, right? Focus on that story that it's telling you? Or are you going to take it and redirect it? Are you going to take it and say, yeah, there's a piece true in there, just a piece. It's not all true. This is actually something that is true in there. Oh, yeah. And now you can redirect kind of where those thoughts are going.
Yeah, and you know, there, I love that you said that. It's so human to have certain stories and thoughts and an inner critic. It's so human and it's so okay. And I think it's a good practice too. Like, I've had to practice this with my current partner, Jake, so many times. Like, when I have a story running through my head where I'm like, oh my gosh, is he rejecting me in some way? Or is like he not liking me in some way? Like, totally have had that thought come up, right? And sometimes rather like it's of course like I want to say like I'm always great at, you know, redirecting my thoughts. It's the practice for me too. And so what I like to do is just be real and honest. And sometimes in those moments when I'm really struggling, I'm like, hey, like Jake, like I'm having some trouble here. Like I'm noticing this story that I'm following in my head that like you aren't liking me right now, or don't think I'm pretty right now, or you know, whatever it is that comes up. And I just share what I need in that. Like I share like you've done, I always say like you've done nothing wrong. I would love like affirmation or like just a reminder that like you do love me. And he's like, of course I love you, you know? And it's just like a beautiful practice in relating, authentic relating to people. Like, this is my truth right now. I'm in a story. Not needing them to like fix us or like, you know, swoop in and save the day, but it's more just like being real, just showing up in your realness. Like, this is me right now. And that's okay sometimes, right?
And that practice, especially when it comes to codependency, of understanding you don't have to do all the work yourself. You can, part of changing how you're showing up, right, is being honest and open with the person that you're with. And so, exactly what you're talking about, right? The, hey, this is a story I have going on in my head right now. Can you help me debunk this? Because I can't redirect this thought. Like I am, and just like all of a sudden it creates this moment where you're connecting and oh, and maybe there was a story there, like, oh, maybe I upset them. Maybe there's something that I did that caused this thing. And really, no, I'm just following this story in my mind. And it's not your fault. It's nothing that you overtly did. It's just a story that's coming up. And now they're like, oh, no, like, no wonder you've been sitting by yourself all day and like I felt like you weren't. But like the thing is, like with humans, we make those stories up because at one point they might have been true, right? And so they were true at one time. And maybe it's all the way back in childhood where it was true. Maybe it was the last relationship. Maybe it was in high school, grade school, somewhere there was a truth. So your mind just keeps playing that truth like it's always true.
100%. It's I love yeah it's so it's such a good practice to just come back to opening up, and it creates more intimacy too in a relationship. And really, I mean, it's of course like there's so much healing work to be done on your own, right? But like real, like there's so much deep work that we can do in relationship, and It's easy to like want to hide or run from it, or like be like, ah, I'll just
Yes.
go to the next relationship and figure it out there. No, like this is a chance for you to really open up and be your real self in the relationship you're in right now, whoever you're with. Every person is our teacher, can be our teacher. Every person can be a guru. Every moment can be part of our life's curriculum. And so it's so good to, yeah, just I love, yeah, just coming back to ourselves and sharing our messy, vulnerable truth.
Yes, I talk about this all the time because it's one of those things where sometimes people get wrapped up, well, you need to heal yourself before you get into a relationship. But the truth is,
Yeah.
you can't trigger yourself,
You
right?
know, true.
And how much healing can you do if you're not triggered? Like, are you actually healing if you're not triggered while you're doing this work?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. And it's interesting because I've seen the thing too, where people like go into this like whole like I'm on this spiritual journey. I'm connecting with, you know, my spirit. And of course, beautiful. Love that for you. But like it can also turn into this like I'm avoid like avoidant, avoidance of relationships and avoidance of real intimacy, which every single human, I don't care who you are, like as humans, we need connection, we need community, we need that to thrive. And so as much as it is important to have alone time and be on your spiritual path and have that anchoring into yourself, equally important to be able to connect with people and just be yourself and show up. Like I once heard from someone that like if you're needing like a lot of alone time in a relationship, it could be that you're actually just like trying to avoid something in the relationship. And so it's really good to look at those moments when you're like, oh, I just kind of feel like I need alone time. Totally valid, but like what's happening? What's going on in that in your relationship? Like is there something really deeply uncomfortable like that you need to talk about? Or that like there's a truth coming up that like you feel like, oh, I don't really love it when you do that. Can we talk about this? Like, you know, can we come to a shared understanding? And like I always say to people, like it's like we're not here to confront or like, you know, really like argue. Like we don't need to argue or confront people. It's more like what's the deeper need under like the snap? Like what's the deeper need under like the under the discomfort? Like what do you need? What are you really wanting to communicate? And communicating it, and just it's okay if it's messy. Be in the mess with someone, and the right people will want to be in the mess with you.
And that I think is the key here too, is are people wanting to be there with you, or are they telling you that when those things happen that you want to work on, well, that's a you problem, so you should probably take care of that. And that is an indicator of, oh, this person isn't interested in moving through this with me.
Love that you mentioned this because that is so important when you're someone who is deeply empathic and tends toward codependency, because that is often a magnet for its opposite, which is, and I don't like to get too much into labels, but like narcissism, right? Which is, and when I say narcissism, I just mean a person who is believing that like my needs are more important than yours. Like those two opposite poles of like codependent narcissists are like magnets for each other. So it's really important to look at like, is this person that I'm with, dating, in friendship with, actually willing to meet me where I'm at and like meet my needs as well? Like, is there an equality in both of our needs? Can we come to that like equal place? Or are they really not interested in meeting me where I'm at? And in that case, is this the right relationship for me? And getting like super clear on that and being okay with like, yeah, it can be so hard. Like I'm actually feeling it in my body right now as I'm thinking about this, because I've been there, like having to leave a really interesting or like intense connection because it's they're not in the same space as I am to meet me where I'm at. And we're not here to say like that these people are bad or, you know, terrible. It's just the fact of the matter is that they're in a different space.
Yeah, and they're not connecting with you, right? And a way to see this is something that I've had to see, is if you are only met by somebody else, and this is friendship, This could be coworker, this could be family and romantic relationships. Like if they only show up for you when you're convenient, that is not a space for you.
Amen to that.
You want an indicator that you are currently in a space where you need to evaluate yourself, how you're identifying yourself, how you're showing up in life. You feel that there's more to life, like that you feel like you want this connection. Do people show up for you when it's not convenient for them?
And right there, I just want to like highlight this too, is like it's easy in that moment when you're like realizing like, oh, this person is not really meeting me where I'm at, or not able to like connect with me on that emotional level. It's easier like for a lot of recovering codependents to want to like prove or like try to like reach and grasp and like control and hold on to the situation so tightly and like make this person love me, and how can I earn this person's love and win their love. And it's like, oof, that patterning can be so strong. And it's just like, I like to relate it to like the neural pathway, right? It's like the neural pathway for proving that I need to earn my love is strong. And we need to just create the neural pathway for I am inherently worthy of love. I am inherently worthy of love. I am inherently worthy of healthy love, and staying so true to that, like not settling for anything less. And that doesn't mean like being mean or like leaving people behind. Like it's just protecting our hearts and our energy, and surrounding ourselves with people who actually care and can meet us where we're at.
Yes. And yes. And that's when that happens, and I'm just sitting here because that's something that I fall into so quickly, so easily, so subconsciously, that proving my worth, being in spaces where I have to prove I deserve your attention. Why I deserve your affection. And it's like there is a line to walk. Like all of this, there's nuances in all of this. There's context. There's things. This
100%.
isn't just leave everybody who doesn't meet all of these things, but it does mean bring up a conversation. I noticed this. This is something that I would really enjoy. Can how do you feel about that? If you could show up for me in this way, would that be something that you'd be interested in? And then if it doesn't happen the next time, but they notice that it's not exactly what you wanted, that doesn't mean that it was a failure. It just means there's still progress being made. The thing is, like, if you always think you have to be convenient, like you are proving your worth at that point. So if you get to a point where you're like the TV show thing that you were talking about, like, oh, they really want to see this movie. And it's not just, oh, I'll go see this movie, or I'm not going to see this movie because I don't like it. But sometimes it is, you know what? You really want to see this sci-fi movie. I'm not a big sci-fi fan, but I'll go see it with you because I like spending time with you. Like that's not abandoning yourself, right? What is abandoning yourself and falling into really the codependency is, I will only watch sci-fi even though I don't really like it, and I won't tell you that I don't like it. And then you never meet me. I want to go see, let's just go stereotypical. I want to go see the chick flicks. I want to go see the romantic comedies. I want to see those sappy movies. But they're like, no, I'm not going to go see that. What? And they just make you do that alone, or they don't meet you on the other side.
Oh my goodness. I'm just reflecting back on this moment when I was in this like really codependent relationship where I it's kind of funny. I put on, I don't know why, like where this came from, but I put on a Katy Perry song, Firework. It's like such a cheesy pop song, I was just like jamming, like I was kind of feeling it. Like I have a wide range of music tastes, and sometimes I like to just jam out to some pop. Like, sue me.
Yeah. Guess what? It's
And
catchy. It's
catchy,
popular for a reason.
right? Thank you, thank you. And so I put it on, and he was just like, "Turn this shit off." Like, just really like critical of my choice, and that I just shut down. Like I shut down at that point. Like I was like, "Oh, this isn't okay. I shouldn't listen to this. I need to listen to him, what he likes, because he's in approval of that." And I'm not sitting here like trying to say like he was so bad and wrong, like he was mean. Like he was just expressing his dislike and distaste for that music, and I took it as like I need to change myself. And it went to an extreme, and like for a while I like only listened to rap music, and I love rap music, don't get me wrong, but it's easy to fall into those like stories of like, because I was criticized for this, and this can happen at a young age too, because I was criticized for showing up as I am, I need to be different, because then I'll be approved of. And it's like, wow, look at that for a second. Like, what, where in your life are you, doing something just to be validated or approved of? And how can you just accept like, oh yeah, I like pop music sometimes. Whatever, I'm kind of, that's just me. And can you be in approval of that and stick up for your likes and dislikes and your preferences? Yeah. And back to like the inner critic thing too. Like, I like to do this practice with people. It's like of like naming our inner critic. Have you ever done
Yes, I
this?
have. Yeah.
And do you have a name for yours?
It changes. Sometimes it's Bobby, sometimes it's Ned, sometimes it's
I love it. Mine is Dupa, which in Polish means like, yeah, like butt or rear end. And it's like just like a silly word, like, you're being a Dupa. Like I remember hearing that like growing up. And I like to do that sometimes because it adds some lightness and like some humor to it. Like, oh, there's Dupa again popping off about my taste in music or my silliness. Like I think that my silliness was something that I was not in approval of for a long time too. I tried to be so serious and like, oh man,
Yes.
even as a coach sometimes, like I've struggled with that too. Like one of my coaches, Kyle, he's like, your silliness, he's like, is like part of your brand. Like just be you. Like that's what you people need. It's just like you being yourself. And I was like, oh, and that translates to all of life, right? Like we are free and can be free to show up exactly as we are. And that's what the world needs, is like more people just being themselves and like not creating this like war within, like real like war begins within ourselves, like within the single person. Of like I'm at war with like who I am. And like when more people are in approval of who they are, like I really feel, and I know this is extreme, but I'm just gonna say it, like I feel like the more people who are just in approval of who they are, like war will start to become like less and less. I really believe that for our future. I hope that for our future, like that we can do that, like end wars starting within, right? It really truly starts within.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, and there's a lot to be said about that war inside. And so when that war inside gets too loud, too intense, what do? We turn it out. We turn it away from ourselves so we don't have to focus on what's going on inside. And if people reflect on that, like when do they get the most, when is their fuse the shortest? When are they irritated and frustrated and really like lashing out?
Or
Is
looking
it,
for substance.
yeah, is it at a time where internally it's really intense, or it's at a point where you need to turn the focus from inside yourself to something else. Something else has to be the cause of this. So I'm going to make it be the cause of something, right?
Yeah. Oh, wow. So true. Yeah, I love that you're speaking to this.
And this can go to resentment. And this is a great place for to bring it back, because I wanted to bring this up too. Like, you're talking about how codependency can lead to resentment by us putting other people's needs first, right? And if we really dig into resentment, who are we really angry at when we dig into the resentment?
Ourselves.
Yes. And
Honestly.
why are we mad at ourselves?
Because we're abandoning ourselves.
Yes, right?
That's
We are betraying
it.
ourselves. Like, we are mad at somebody else for giving themselves something that we want.
So well said, RJ. So well said. Yeah.
And you want to find like a want or a need, pay attention to your resentments. That will point you to a want or a need that you have.
Amazing. Yes, that inquiry is huge for navigating codependency. What need is underneath the resentment? And I actually recently have been doing this work with an intuition coach, and like the spirit animal of the alligator came up for me. And I've been sitting with this. I'm like, what is this about? Like, why is there an alligator like coming up for me so much? And it's this like feeling of this part of me that wants to just snap and like flick its tail and get its way and like, get angry. And I really have had to sit with that, because it's like there's wisdom in alligators are such wise old creatures, and there's wisdom in that like snap. Like, what's actually the deeper need underneath the snap? What do I actually need underneath that anger or resentment or quick outbreak, outlash, right? What am I lashing out about? Oh, there's actually a deeper need there. And if I'm aware enough of it, of the alligator, of the snap, before it actually snaps, I can probably communicate this in a way that the other person can actually hear. Versus if I snap, they're not going to hear me. They're not going to hear it, And it's easy. Like, I think in codependency, like, it's easy to just like get to this point, like, everything's good, everything's good, everything's good, snap. Everything's good, everything's good, everything's good, snap. And it's like, that's not healthy either. Like, that's not a healthy way to relate. So it's like, yeah, I like to say, like, honor your inner alligator. Honor the wisdom of your inner alligator. What's your inner alligator? Like you said, resentment. What's the deeper need? Same thing.
And that's when we can feel and actually look into some of these unpleasant feelings that we push to the side. Like, there's a lot of wisdom that our body is telling us in those. And you
Yes.
can develop that connection. But for me, somebody who always meets other people's needs, always. What do you mean? I'm good. I'm always good. See me, I always have this look on my face. Whether things are going bad or things are going good, I always have this look on my face. I'm good. I'll be fine. I always am. And it's a struggle, right? So I couldn't name my needs or anything. So I had to take these unpleasant emotions and be like, find underneath, what is it? What is that need? Oh, I'm craving connection. Oh, I'm not giving myself permission to take care of my own needs, to take care of my own, to take care of whatever it is in life, to, in a case, move on. Keeping myself stuck. Why? Because maybe that's how I feel I deserve. Do I really deserve that though? No. Okay. So, like, that's where some of that resentment is, right? Like, when you can dig in underneath these unpleasant emotions, you allow yourself to feel them, you can find, like you're talking about, that inner wisdom, that what is it? I'm angry right now. Okay. Are you angry or are you in pain? Because it tends to show up the same way.
Are you angry or are you sad? Because it
Yes.
shows the same way. Are you,
Yes.
yeah, so many ways. And I'm curious, like, do you have a practice for digging into your unpleasant emotions? Like, do you have do you journal? Do you have to like meditate? Like, what's your go-to practice, or what do you recommend?
So, yes, sometimes I journal. Sometimes when I'm driving, I'll be like, okay, what is this? Is this, is it anger? Is it sadness? Is it pain? Be honest with myself. What truth am I avoiding about that? Is it actually pain? Is it grief? Okay, it's grief. What is it grief about? And oh, now I can dig into what might be underneath. And walking does this a lot for me. Get outside and walk, and don't have an agenda. Just kind of doing a simple body scan. How's my gut feel? How my shoulders feel? Do I have this feeling in my chest, like a tightness? Is it feeling a little bit free? Is it feeling like, where do I have this tightness? Okay. I wonder what that causes. When do I remember that tightening up a little bit? What moment? And just thinking about what comes up when you ask yourself that. And it's asking yourself these questions too, of like, it's the getting curious, being inquisitive. It's that, what, like you said earlier, am I avoiding something?
I love what you're sharing here, and it sounds like what I'm hearing is like you have a really strong practice of like self-talk and inquiry and self-inquiry, and just like having conversations with yourself. And I just want to highlight that for a second, because I think that's huge in any person's life, is having this really healthy relationship with your mind, with yourself. Like, can you speak to yourself so kindly? Can you just really get curious and be like, oh, Diana, what is it? What's going on? Like, what are you feeling right now? Like, can you speak to yourself like you would like a hurt child, because within all of us is just like inner child that just needs like a little love and attention. And I think sometimes people feel like, I've heard like, I feel crazy. Like, if I'm talking to myself, I'm like, no, like it's actually a really good practice to have. And I think like we've seen examples of like people chit-chatting to themselves walking down the street, and that can feel like crazy or like look funny. But like, no, it's actually such a good practice to have. Look crazy if you have to. Like, let go of what other people think and just be you and like show up for yourself. Have the conversation with yourself,
And this is a good opportunity to say, like, when you talk out loud and you're speaking out loud, like, that is a form of journaling. You're getting it out of your head and into the real world, right? So, like, sometimes I'll leave myself voice memos. Sometimes,
Same. I love doing
yeah.
that.
And that's journaling, right? That is
Absolutely.
taking your thoughts and putting it somewhere else. And then sometimes I'll take selfie videos of myself talking,
Love it. Love
just
it.
not necessarily to myself, but just talking. Like, in that, all of a sudden you'll see something when it's out of your brain and you start talking or writing or whatever that is that looks like, it just opens different pathways that you may not have seen before.
Yeah, I love that you're naming that. Like, we need to give ourselves space to just free form speak, write, whatever form feels best for you. And it doesn't have to be writing, doesn't have to be journaling. Some people don't resonate with journaling, but like, yeah, the voice memos, our voice is like the most healing frequency that we can give ourselves. Like, if we can speak things out, talk things out with ourselves, amazing.
If people, if you're listening to this and this is like your first few podcasts, if you go back to the beginning of Untapped Keg and you listen to that RJ, you skip ahead 50 episodes and you listen to that RJ, you skip ahead another 50 episodes and you listen to that RJ, you are listening to the progression, to the start where I started from on this journey. And it really is like you get a snapshot into it, my diary. Like I would tell people all the time when they told me I should start journaling, I don't want to write. The podcast is my journal. And it's true. Like this is a chronicle, and it didn't start that way. It's not intentional, but it's turned into a chronicle of my journey. And you can skip around and hear those different parts and whoa, when did that change? Whoa, that's interesting. Like where did, I wonder where he got that idea. It is talking it out with myself, with other people, and just having that curiosity.
Yes. First of all, really celebrating you for just being this amazing human who's like diving into using your voice to express. That takes so much courage and so much awareness that that's your preferred method of like expression. And second, like I think it sounds like you're saying like you've really developed your inner voice, yourself, your own inner voice, and that's huge and something that I think ties right back into like what we're talking about with codependency is like one of the best tips I think any of us can give is like coming back to cultivating your true voice, whatever that is, and practicing it. And it might come out a little messy at first. It might not be so pretty or perfect or doesn't have to be. You can let go of that. And that can be hard for a lot of us. A lot of us are perfectionists. I know
Yes.
I'm recovering from
Same.
that. Yeah.
Same. And that's allowing yourself to be messy. Because again, you don't have to be a convenience.
Oof. Yes. I love that. That's good.
What would you want people to understand about codependency after this discussion that we've had on it?
That true healing from codependency is so possible. It takes practice, and it really comes back to loving thyself and prioritizing what lights you up and creating time. What lights you up and stop saying I'm just gonna keep going with this and stop saying yes when you're actually a no, like really honoring your no, honoring and creating safety around speaking your no thanks. Yeah, that's what I would
I love
say.
that. I love that because that is the start. That's the key to a lot of this in honoring yourself is to find what lights you up. Diana, if people want to keep up with you, how can they do that?
They can do that by following me on Instagram, Diana underscore Fornaris, or feel free to reach out via my website, dianafornaris.com. I'm also on Facebook, I'm also on TikTok. Yeah, I love connecting with people and would be happy to hear from whoever's listening.
Thank you so much,
Yeah,
Diana.
and I have something that I'd like to share if you're open to it. It's just like a little poem that I wrote yesterday about creating home within.
Yes, please.
Okay. It's wherever you go, home is within. You need not look outside. Take a deep breath, come back to your heart, to the place that source resides. And that is my poem. That is what I'm going to leave here with. Can find home within.
That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you for creating the space for this. I'm really appreciative of this.
And to you listening, share this episode with somebody who you think could benefit from it. And let me know how I'm doing. Leave a review, leave 5-star, 1-star. It doesn't matter. Tell me the truth. Be true to yourself, right? And
Amen.
let Again, let me know. Let's bring Diana back on again. Let me know, bring Diana back. And everybody, let's try to be better tomorrow than we were today. Because if we don't make it, we tried. I love you. Have a great week, everybody.